number that he, in the chapter 9 of the Gospel according to St. John, this story of the blind man is given to us. It's one of the stories that really, if you read it carefully and all the details around it, you will have confidence in the Bible without external evidence. Like the Bible is proved from within. When you read the Bible story and think about it a little bit, it cannot be imagination of people. It cannot be written by a very good author. The story is, when you go through the details of it, you will believe that it has to be genuinely a story that happened in the history. It's impossible for a good writer to imagine a story with this depth. It says that, now as Jesus passed by, saw man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They are commenting on a previous miracle that the Lord said to a person, don't sin again, because if you sin again, you'll get something worse, which showed the disciples that possibly this person was paralytic because of his sin. Then this blind man was born blind. Whose mistake is that? Then the Lord answered and said, Jesus answered, neither this man nor parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And this is actually very comfortable for us. But sometimes we pass through difficulties, we don't find the reason for it. But through these difficulties, the glory of God can be manifested. So there's nothing haphazard in this life. If I am passing through difficulties, maybe that's the plan from God for glory. Glory for his name and for me as well, as it will happen to this man. This man was born blind, but he became now a saint because of this story. He said that, the Lord said, that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And then he said something very strange. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, no one can say this word, so long as I'm here, that I am the light of the world. No one can say it unless possibilities heaven can deal with the force of that. You're the archer. Welcome. The Lord is saying that so long as I'm in the world, then I am the light of the world. This can only be said, think about it a little bit. Either the Lord is right, or he is deceiving, or he's crazy. No one can say I'm the light of the world, except if he'll give evidence. Because it's very puzzling to people. If a person, normal person, sits among the whole congregation and say, I am the light of the world. But the Lord said it and proved it. And he did that number of times. That he says something, then proves it. And that's what happened. That as he said that, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. This is something very strange. Why did the Lord do that? Clay would make a normal eye blind. How come the clay will be a solution? Of course, it is reminding people about creation, because we know, and the Jewish people then knew, that that's the way human was made, from clay, through the mouth of the Lord. And this is a reminder, because this man needed creation. There were no eyes, so it has to be created. So he made that clay and an evidence that it is the creation, that the Lord is going to create something. When he said I'm the light of the world, and then he creates something. I think it may be appropriate that I can stop a little bit, and Father Augustinus, if you introduce your guest, to give a few words, then I'll continue, such that they may like to go to other meetings. So please introduce him.
This evening we have a very special guest with us. His name is Nick.
That when the Lord spoke of himself being the light of the world, it was something shocking to people, because you can't stand in front of people and claim that I am the light of the world without having evidence. And the Lord will give the evidence, of course. Shortly he will prove that he is the light of the world. He made this clay, painted the eyes of the blind person, and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent, which is Christ. It's actually the water that was dug as an underground to help Jerusalem, if it is surrounded by the enemies, to find water coming to them in a clever way, if they are surrounded, that they don't die out of thirst. So it's symbolic that the Lord Jesus Christ is sent from the Father, and that's the place that when the blind man will go and wash. And as I say, that making clay and painting the thing is the act of creation. The Jewish people understand that the Lord created the world through clay, created man through clay, and made him alive by his spirit. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He made clay and painted the eye of the person, which was very strange to happen in this way, because, as I say, clay will never help a solution of diseases of the eyes, especially the man had no eyes. And the man came back seeing. And of course he had tremendous faith and trust, because it doesn't look, imagine the situation is, it's a long distance of walk, maybe half an hour. Imagine a person blind with clay on his face, walking for no purpose, to be washed, half an hour walk. It's total obedience. So he received the obedience. He was very tolerant. The Lord didn't give him any promises. And he didn't know who is Jesus after all, but he did follow the whole way to wash his face, and he turned back seeing. And when this, when he returned back, therefore the neighbors and those who were previous had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he who sat and begged? He used to sit in the temple for people when they are coming in to give him some money. So they know him. They know him very well. The best place to move the feeling of people to give money to a needy person is the place of worship. So he used to sit there. So his familiar face. They said, how come that he is? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. It's me. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So went and washed and received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisee. The Pharisee are the knowledgeable people of the temple, and they would investigate how this happened. So they brought him to the knowledgeable people, the Pharisee, to show him he was blind and now he's seeing a miracle. How come this happened? Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisee also asked him again how he had received his sight. Observe the way he tells the story now to the Pharisee. He wouldn't say he made a clay, because making a clay on Saturday is illegal for the Pharisee. So he covered up for Christ, as if he is protecting Christ. He said, he put clay on my eyes, as if he didn't say that he made clay, because he's not allowed to make clay on Saturdays. And I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. Look at the triviality of some people. Until now, everywhere, the people trivial, that they look at minor situation and they make, they saw a miracle beyond imagination. And then they are commenting on it was happening on Saturday. The Lord on purpose made that on Saturday to let people understand that on Saturday we have to do something good. The time of doing good things is Saturday, the day of the Lord. We do good things. It doesn't mean Saturday that I don't do something good. So they just forgot about the miracle and start pointing about he did the miracle on Saturday, then he cannot be from God. However, other people said, how can man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. And this happened in the first century, that the division made some Jewish people become Christian. That knowledge, the ones that have vision would understand that what the triviality of Saturday or not. The main thing is a big miracle, a born a blind person with this power, making a clay and they can see, must be from God. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said he's a prophet. He doesn't know him, anything about him, but he must be a prophet, the one that could give me sight and I'm born blind. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents and they asked him, them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. This is very silly from those people, not to defend Christ. They are scared from being excluded from the synagogue, because the synagogue at that time is the reason for them to have jobs. Half Jerusalem had jobs in the temple. And to be excluded from the synagogue means a lot of difficulties. Possibly you can't find a job. Possibly you lose your job. Like you don't have reference for you to stay. And for this young man, he is not going to be married. Because if he is out of the synagogue, out of the temple, then no one will marry him. Who will officiate the ceremony of his marriage? So he's a great loser, but the man is different from his parents. His parents were cowards. They said, we don't know. He is of age, ask him. He defended himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confesses that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. This expression of give God the glory is to scare him. Because normally they do that before shooting the person. If he is condemned to death because he is blaspheming, they may shoot, kill him. And before killing the person, they say, give glory to God. Until now, this is happening with the Muslims. You la ilaha illallah before they kill him. Give glory to God. As if they are telling him, you are in trouble. This is a very scary sentence. Give glory to God. As if now we give a sentence against you. But the man didn't worry at all. They said that we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And this is the beauty of the experience with Christ. The beauty of you feeling that the whole world can stand against your belief. But you know something inside my heart. I was blind and now I can see. This reminds me by many situations about people that get persecuted. They can't deny Christ. Do you think that the 21 persons that were kept almost 2 months under tremendous torture just to say one sentence, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Once they say that, they get released. And they didn't. They didn't bow under the pressure. Do you think that they didn't have something to rely on? It's very important for all of us to have something in your hand that you say, I was blind and now I can see. Because no matter what tribulation you can face after that, you had the touch of Christ. If you didn't have this touch in your life, understand that you are missing a lot. Because once you have this reality that I know that I was blind, now I can see, then no one can shake you. No one can get you scared. You never trample after that on your own experience. And I saw cases like this. I may have told you this story before about a Muslim girl that converted to Christianity in Egypt. And she came here. She escaped from her parents. And she came here and she's living here as one of the great servants in Sydney. When one of the Muslim leaders came to visit Australia, he knew about her. And he sent her all the books that he authored against Christianity, trying to make her doubtful. And she asked me, should I read the books or not? And I hesitated a little bit, because if I say to her, don't read, as if I'm scared of some truth. And if I say to her, read, she may be confused by that writer trying to attack Christianity. And she understood my situation. Then she saved me, saying, Father, don't worry, I have seen Christ. So if this man writes hundreds of books against the resurrection of Christ, I saw Christ alive. So this is the beauty of having hands-on experience about the love of Christ. You never deny him. You never get scared. You know that there's some. The man said, whether he's seen or not, it's not my business. My business is that I was blind and now I can see. How can I deny this power? Then they said to him again, what did you do? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? He was sarcastic. They like to become his disciples. He's a very brave man. And that may be the reason that the Lord selected him. There may be many blind people in the history, but this man was selected because of his courage. You know that the Lord can foresee if you appreciate what he does to you or not. There are sometimes people that receive something glorious from God because their nature is to appreciate what's happening. Some people do not appreciate, then possibly they don't receive. If you are of the type that appreciates what the Lord gives you, the Lord will give you. For example, the Lord can open for you a wonderful place, good job. You'll appreciate that, you pay your tithes, you glorify God. But other people, by their nature, they deny what they receive. Those are the ones that sometimes do not receive. This blind man was very honorable. He doesn't care all the consequences of being, he knew that they exclude him from the synagogue. They are going to at least expel him out. Maybe worse than that. Maybe he'll be executed. But he doesn't care about that. He doesn't know who is Jesus, but he's honorable. A man that gave me sight, I cannot deny him. So he was strong enough to my mobile is in trouble, so I can speak until it reloads. That's the technology. That's the technology. Relying on the technology will make you. It's important for us to understand that our relationship with God has to be based on personal, one-on-one experience. If we hear about Christ and we don't have this touch of one-on-one, then we may back off under any pressure. Did it happen before that people backed off? Many, many times people back off because they didn't have this experience. I remember a person came once to me and said, I don't know how come that my son, after being always in the church, he was a deacon. He was actually always making the responses in the altar, and now he left Christ. How come? Possibly because he didn't have a relationship with Christ. He didn't have hands-on experience of the love of Christ. I remember one girl long time ago was touched by the care and love of a Muslim person. He was very kind of sweet, and he showered her with presents and things like that, and she was a bit weak, she befriended him. Then at one stage, she couldn't continue. She couldn't. She came to me with tears. I love him, but I can't deny Christ. She had the experience of the love of Christ. And with agony, she trampled on this love. And because of the hands-on experience, the love of Christ, one-on-one, very, very important to have this sweetness of knowing Christ. And that's exactly what the Lord said, that I know you, you know me. We come to the church, we're born in the church, we grow in the church, we come every Sunday, we have Holy Communion, but sometimes we don't know Christ. We haven't got this encounter with him. There's a bit of maturity that can happen to the person at one stage that you know Christ. If you didn't know until now, then search for him, because life will have a meaning for the stand after that will be different. The experience, the trust that he is, I know him. So he told them sarcastically, do you like to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. The man answered with wisdom and said to them, why this is marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from? And he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he will hear him. True that he's not very knowledgeable, but what he said now is a treasure. Listen to what he said, because it's a treasure. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. And understand that. Some people say God doesn't hear me, because you don't worship him, you don't hear him. If you worship him and does his will, he will hear you. And this is the rule. True in the mouth of this blind person, but that's the rule. If you worship God and do his will, he'll listen to you. If you ask him for something, he'll show you his power. Since the world began, he continues, it was unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Instead of them acquiring the wisdom of the man, they attacked him, saying, they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. As expected, he doesn't mind. To be cast out from the eyes of the people, but to be acceptable to God, is much more important than the reverse. I can be acceptable to all people in the world. People can clap for me all over the world. And the Christ does not, then I benefit nothing. What the recognition of people will do to me on the day of my departure from this body? What's the recognition of people will help me if I develop terminating cancer, for example? The time that you should get to this maturity, that's the recognition from God, is much more important. I remember Rick Warren, a very nice preacher in America, was interviewed on the most important program in America, and they were telling him something about homosexuality. And the interviewer lady was telling him, you'd better not lose your popularity by speaking against homosexuality. Then he answered in a marvelous way. He said that I don't search for the approval of people. If the whole world consider me wrong or crazy, welcome. I am searching for the approval of Christ. And that's the reason of his success. Don't be driven by the ideas of people. Don't be driven by the recognition of people. I can be expelled out, but enough that I witness to the Lord. Look at the next sentence. It's amazing, nice to me when I meditate on it. I read it again. And they cast him out. Immediately after that, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. If you are cast out for me, I'll heal. Then what? And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Immediately as you get rejected from the world because of your honesty, the Lord will find you. The Lord will never leave you if you are cast out because of you belong to him. People can. I can belong to an organization and the organization doesn't save me. But if you get trouble because of your belonging to Christ, impossible that the Lord will let you down. Impossible. On earth, yes. Even if not on earth, like martyrdom, then we'll be in heaven. So belonging to Christ and being honest to him, loyal to him, he never leave you. So see the sequence of events. They cast him out, then the Lord found him. And he told him, do you believe in the Son of God? The man said, answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Of course, he didn't know who is that. He haven't seen Christ. He may have heard his voice, but he doesn't know who he is. And Jesus said to him, look at this verb. You have seen him. To us, the word see is normal. But to this blind man, it's different. When you say to the blind man, you've seen him, it touches his heart, it touches his being. The word see is not, it's foreign to him. The verb see is not in his terminology. He doesn't see. Then the Lord said, you saw him. Amazing. You know what he did? He fell on his knees. You are the one that opened my eyes and I see you. And he's talking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He fell on his knees and said, I believe. And he worshipped him. The reason that we read this gospel during the Lent is that it's revealing. It's revealing. We have 3 weeks, which is last week is the prodigal son. This Sunday will be the Samaritan woman. The week after is the paralytic. This is a segment of 3 successive weeks. Of repentance, returning back to Christ, knowing that belonging to him can do what to us. We are in the house of the Father, where the joy will come to us. Then after that comes this revelation. We call the week that we read this gospel the week of revelation, Haddel Stanar, and in the meantime it is the week of baptism, because that's the revelation. When you get revealed with revelation of the beauty of belonging to Christ. Relation to Christ is not knowledge, is not accumulated information. It is a personal touch from my heart to his heart. I know him, and I never miss him, and he knows me. There's something between me and him that people do not understand. And this makes my life different, makes my values different, and I never leave him again, because I've seen him. This is very important for young people. Does it have any age? No. There are people, the children, that they get this revelation. There are elder people that have never seen that. But there is a revelation, something that you know and changes your life. You know that some Protestant people have rightly the saying that some of people belonging to the traditional churches live and die without having encounter with the Lord. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes we just go with the tide. We go and there's no encounter with the Lord. There must be a revelation that happened to you, maybe gradually, maybe experience after experience, but you have to learn that I was blind and I can see, and I worship you, Lord, because you give me this sight. You deserve that I belong to you. At that time, I can trample on this word. Who cares now about the synagogue or people? If they threaten me that I'm not going to have a job, I don't care. If they threaten me that I cannot get married, I don't care. What I care about now is that I belong to you, and you never let me down. This is the experience of a man that is honorable and is capable to appreciate what the gifts from God are. It's a maturity. People can mature at certain age. People will never mature. But the maturity is to understand that I appreciate what the Lord can do to me, and I know him face to face. If you read this story, it's much deeper than imagination of a writer like Shakespeare or whatever the writer is. It cannot be imagination, it cannot be. And the words that the Lord says, I am the light of the world, then he makes this. He did that number of times. He say, I am, then he proves who he is. I am the living water, and he gives something. I am, the words I am from the Lord is caused him to be exposed, to be stoned. Because you know what I am? I am is the verb of the name of God. It's Yahweh. Yahweh or Jehovah, as the English way of writing it, is the verb of being. I am. So when Moses asked God who you are, he said, I am who I am. So the word I am is not taken like nowadays. Nowadays everyone can say I am. But in these days, the Jews understand when he says I am, it is referring to Jehovah, to Yahweh, I am. And he says, I am the word, and he proves it, that I am the light of the world. And he is. Lucky are those who can get to his light. Lucky are those that gradually get the revelation of this. And it is open for us. He wouldn't deny a person that come to him in depths of, please, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Please, Lord, show me your power. Let me know who you are. I am yours. When we pray, sometimes we pray, saying words without realizing the importance of the presence of His Majesty, who I am to approach you, Lord, and speak to you. I recall once when Pope Shenouda was visiting the monastery in Pati, that somebody approached him and said, Sayyidina, why not to let these monks go out and preach instead of staying here, wasting their time? And then Pope Shenouda shook his head with simply saying, you don't understand. And he told him, leave them, enjoy the beauty of spending time with Christ. Sometimes we wonder what hermits do. How can a hermit live tens of years alone in the desert, not exposed to anything? Encounter with the Lord is all in all. It makes all difference. Your life will never be the same when you get an encounter with the Lord. We've seen that number of times. People have an experience with the Lord, then they are different. A new person. They come to be a new person. May the Lord give us this experience of this blind person. That one day I say, I don't care what people say. I don't belong to philosophy. I just know that I was in need and he covered that. I was blind and I can see because of his love, because of his care. Glory be to his name forever. Do you have any question? Comment? Thank you very much for listening. Nice meeting, growing in a perfect way, lovely new faces, and very sure. Yes, Johnny.
So, you know how they were focusing on the triviality of it being on the Sabbath and forgiving? Would that complaint be valid if it was not Christ but somebody else who did it? Because then that person would have been breaking God's law, or would that still have been a triviality?
Well, I think people can hardly be free to get out of accumulated flux of ideas all around us. It happens with us as well. Sometimes we get bound by the common idea that everyone believes in me. We are not free. I think those Pharisees were like that. Some of them were free to understand and think. But definitely, if it were not Christ, as you say, then it would be as if they did marvelous, fatal mistake to do clay on Saturday or something like that. Christ was the only person that can do it and prove that it's not important to make clay on Saturday. And it's always possible that people accumulate wrong ideas and it become the most important thing to us. It's still happening for us now. Be free, not to rebel against the church or the common understanding, but just to assess it in the proper way. I give you an example. Sometimes we, because of the common feeling or common understanding, we assess some mistakes to be minor. For example, I saw my dad, my mom, my auntie, my uncle, my cousin doing a common mistake. Then it's commonplace. Then I don't get disturbed if I do the same mistake. For example, having animosity with other people. I don't like this person. I don't speak to him. In the church, when I meet him, I give him my back. I don't even say hello to him. I saw that happening from mom, from dad, and it's a culture. Who told you that this will not be upsetting to God, possibly more than murder, more than committing adultery? In the eyes of God, this is very horrible, because the Lord as a father said it. It's actually we transfer from death to life by the love of the brethren. Something like that will make us transfer from life to death. Be free from the accumulated culture and understand what the Bible says. Something else, like the arrogance. I heard my dad, my mom, my dad, my tata, my whatever, in their way of speech, how they speak. For example, dad crosses his leg and starts saying, oh, when I was in Egypt, my house had 7 servants. They were serving. We had a house next to whatever. My cousin is the minister or whatever. My uncle was whatever. What's this language response or effect on the ears of God? This is much worse than stealing, because it's arrogance, unnecessary. Have we ever seen Christ speaking in this language? Have we seen Christ that is born in a manger or from a very poor family would boast about riches or possessions or superiority? What did he teach us as leaders? To be servants? What's that language? Be free from the language that we inherited from other people. We imitate them blindly. So it's very important to understand, especially young people. Young people are more capable, especially you, so many cultures, different nationalities. Be free to understand the Bible in its context. Be free to understand what Christ like from you. Don't be bound by tradition and accumulated understanding that was imposed on you, even if this happened to be from very close people like parents or something like that. Not to underestimate their knowledge or their role in my life, but just to be free to understand that we should not follow a stream of people going in one direction without having the vision to understand what's right, what's wrong. May the Lord give us this, because I really feel that I love the story of this blind man. Very, very, and I love this blind man. Maybe and the Lord will be merciful on us one day to see him in heaven and to see his glory, brighten the glory, and seeing, because the Lord gave him sight. The Lord can give us that. On that day, on the Sunday of this revelation, we always feel the beauty of being blind. And every, I remember one year, I was reading the gospel, The reason that I like to read this gospel is that it is about 40 verses. And if I give it to a deacon that is nice in his voice, then we take half an hour waiting until you finish. So I read it. Usually, the deacons know that on that day they give me that gospel because it's very long. And when here, while I was reading it, my eyes dropped on six Muslim people that converted to Christianity. And they were standing all around. My eyes scanned them while I'm reading. They were all crying. All were crying. And the right things that I was blind and now I see. Any Muslim person that, any non-Christian that his eyes will be open to see Christ, this gospel for them is the joy. Speak to any person that was non-Christian, became Christian, this gospel for them is the revelation. Because it is. It is. Every word in it has a meaning of being blind and the light of the world shone on me, now I can see. I may not be blind in my eyes, but I may be blind in understanding. I may be blind not to appreciate what the Lord is doing to me. I may be blind because I'm searching for triviality, because I'm struggling very much for something that doesn't lead much to anything. Then may the Lord open my eyes to understand the beauty of following Him or the importance of eternity. We live a life, we can easily drift from our purpose. Our purpose is to be trained for the kingdom. We are creatures not to live on earth forever. Have you ever seen a person that has been living on earth forever? No, it's a period, it's a phase in our creation that we are trained to be for eternity. How? By knowing Him, by knowing Christ. Through His body, through His blood, we live. We are mortal, but through Him we live. He gives us this possibility to live forever with Him. And to be adopted in His family, and to be His children, and to be even elevated to the level of being His children. He gave us all the rights to be fully as His children. He gave us all the capabilities to be His children. Like He said about His disciples, that they do miracles more than I, which has happened. His disciples made miracles more than what the Lord did. That's His way. He came to elevate us, to pull us up out of our blindness, to be drifting, not seeing the glory of belonging to Him. May the Lord reveal that to us during this Lent, such that the day of revelation, when the Lord comes out of death to live forever, we belong to Him, glory be to His name forever.
We stand up for prayer.